Thanks, Tom. Very kind of you. I'm quite happy to be held up against what I said last year. Could I acknowledge Margaret Quirk, MLA, my cabinet colleague, Mr. John Paulson, CEDA State President of WA and Managing Partner of Minter Ellison, Greg Meek, CEDA Deputy CEO and State Director of State Director Queensland, Lisa Scafidi, CEDA State Director WA, Mr. Martin North, Managing Consultant, Consulting Director of Fujitsu Australia and New Zealand, and Tom Hayes, General Manager of WA for Fujitsu. Thank you very much. Good to be back. Very interesting time that we live in. I don't know if there'd be any better time or any better place to be in at the moment in Australia. And I just want to do something a little bit different. If you don't mind, please indulge me. Put your hand up in the air, either hand, if you normally live in Western Australia. Thank you. Now leave your hand. Keep it up. Not that hard. Keep your hand in the air if you'd rather live somewhere else. Thank you. That's okay. There are always the odd ones out, you know. There's a point to me asking that. I'll come back to it, but I think it says something very loud, very clear, very profound in and of itself. WA has never, 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 never been a better place to be. Last week I was in Sydney for a meeting of the State Premiers and Territory Leaders, the newly formed Council of Australian Federation. While I was there, lots of news came through. One of them was the latest unemployment figures. It's quite interesting being in a room with all the State Premiers and Territory Leaders when these sort of figures come through. 3%, Western Australia, 3% unemployment. I didn't say anything. But it was pretty good. They're pretty good figures. They're better figures than anybody else has been able to generate, even though unemployment is quite low elsewhere. It is nothing like what it is here. Very important to me. If you've got a job, it's very important to have a job. If you've got a job, you are able to do things. If you've got a job, all sorts of things follow. Economic growth in WA has never been higher. Our building program, public and private, has never been bigger. And the rest of Australia is agog at what is going on here, at what we are achieving. And why wouldn't they be? We may think, some may think, with daylight saving, that the sun sets later. I meet these people every morning at the beach and they let me know what they think. The rest of Australia thinks the sun never sets in Western Australia, that it's always brilliantly bright. Since 2001, our economy has grown 25%. When we came to power in 2001, we inherited an economy valued at $76 billion. It was shrinking at the time. By the end of this financial year, we'll be looking at an economy valued at $126 billion, and it is no longer shrinking. Far from it. Since 2001, total employment has grown by 16.8%. That's 151,000 new jobs, while the unemployment rate has halved. Retail turnover, forgive me for these statistics, retail turnover in WA grew by 7.3% last year, double, more than double, the national average. New motor vehicle sales jumped 10.2%. Nationally, they fell by 2.6%. Business investment growth in WA at 13.4% was around about three times the national figure. Last year, exports from WA were valued at $55 billion, more than a third of the national total, and more than Victoria and New South Wales combined. They're good statistics. As Tim Marney, I hope, has forecast, and Tim, your job's on the line if you haven't, 2007 is likely to be another strong year for the WA economy. We are vastly better off than we were 6 years ago. We're also much better positioned. This is the key, I think. Not so much where you are now compared to where you were 5 years ago, but we are much better positioned to be successful in the future than we were in 2000-2001. And must also be said that the work in positioning never stops. Governments who stop trying to position themselves for the future, you've got to get rid of them. It's a work in progress and it never stops. It's positioning ourselves for the future should be one of the key, if not the key, tasks of government, and the work must be continuous. For much of the decade of the 1990s, it is my view, we failed in that task. And I'll give you one specific example, and I've raised it before, training. To be successful as a modern economy, your citizens have to be educated and skilled. There is no alternative anymore in the modern economy. I don't believe every government understands or understood this basic principle. I don't believe, this is one of my very few political statements of the day, I don't believe the federal government understands this issue deeply enough. We've raised in WA the school leaving age to 16, and next year, that's 2008, it'll be 17. We're already seeing the results. This year, 97% of all 16-year-olds in WA are either at school, in training, in an apprenticeship, or otherwise employed. And for most people now, you would think, well, of course they should be. That wasn't the case a very short time ago. This compares to the situation I inherited when I became the Education Minister in 2001, when 50% of boys in some places were leaving school after year 10, 50%. Retention rates across the board in education and training were actually declining. There was zero growth on a low base in training, and youth unemployment was nearly 30%. You don't rectify the results of 10 years of what was effectively indolence in that regard. You don't rectify that in a short space of time, but we're on the way. We've increased the number of apprentices in WA, for example, by 60%. We're making our training system more flexible to meet the demands of industry with part-time, school-based and reduced duration apprenticeships. Again, this isn't work that will stop. It doesn't stop next year in 2008. It must go on forever. One area, of course, I may have mentioned this last year, in fact, I should check, Indigenous retention rates. They have improved. Despite what you hear and read, they have improved, but we can do better. And we have to do better. And by we, I don't mean we, this government, I mean we, all of us in this room, outside of this room. There is a big task in WA, and this is the moment where we can actually tackle that task better than ever before. Our training sector needs to be continuously reformed to meet the changing needs of industry. At the other end of the spectrum, incidentally, I'm glad to see the early years of education and child development is finally receiving some attention at national level. I'm talking about the program that's been announced for four-year-olds. Very, very important that we do the work for the early years. 0 to 4, there's still a huge amount of work to be done in there, and I think there is some sign at the national level that we're on the move. In positioning ourselves for future success, we have to invest heavily. We have to invest heavily in our physical and our human infrastructure. I just mentioned training, human infrastructure. We have to secure our energy and water supplies, ensure a conducive tax and regulatory environment, respect, value and protect our natural environment, engage constructively with the world on a multiplicity of levels, and critically importantly, be at the forefront of innovation. You stop innovating, you stop in your tracks and people go straight past you. That's how we'll keep our economy strong. And keeping our economy strong has to be front and centre of our thinking in government. Because a strong economy allows us to focus on the priority services, what the punters want. They want good services in health, in education, community safety. A strong economy allows us to invest record amounts in capital works. And a strong economy enables us to confront the long-term challenges facing our state with long-term solutions. Before we look at 2007, I don't know the text of Tim's speech, but we'll have before we look at 2007, and I don't repeat everything that Tim has said, can I reflect for one moment on 2006 and not on my own personal circumstance. I'm still here, I'm still standing, and I'm enjoying it. That's good enough. Our reforms to WA's antiquated liquor licensing regime will over time help to make our city a more vibrant place for locals and visitors alike. Don't underestimate how difficult it was to get what seems to be a pretty common sense reform. We celebrated our first LNG shipment to China. We also implemented, despite some resistance, our domestic gas reservation policy to help secure our state's energy future. You have to secure energy future. People around the world laugh at the prospect of us not securing our energy future, our energy supplies for the future. We have to do it, just as we have to secure our water supplies for the future. We tried very hard to do that. We delivered on time and on budget Australia's first large-scale desalination plant in Kwinana, which, may I say, is now the envy of every other state regime. There was a lot of controversy about it when we did it. There was a lot of scepticism. I shared the scepticism. It's there. It's operating. It was delivered on time, on budget, and everybody else around Australia wishes they had one too. Our focus on health and community safety saw the opening of a new $12.3 million state cancer centre and a new state-of-the-art $25 million police forensic facility. look at some of the projects we kicked off last year under a record $5.2 billion building program. The Perth to Bunbury Highway, due for completion 2010-11. Major extension of the Mitchell Freeway, due for completion 08-09. Perth Arena Indoor Concert and Sports Stadium down on Wellington Street, due for opening in 09-10. New Performing Arts Venue in Northbridge, due to open in 08-09. There's a lot more. There's a lot of sod turning. I never got sick of it. I did break the shovel at one place. Sod turning in WA can be quite difficult where the earth is hot and packed hard, but it's very good fun. While there's always more to be done, I think the community broadly appreciate the job we're doing. I think they acknowledge that WA is on the right track. That's not to say that everybody agrees with everything that we do and everybody's going to sort of say, you beauty, we can't wait to vote for you again. But I think there is broad acceptance that we're on the way and doing the things that need to be done. The Peel by-election last week seemed to give some confirmation to this. I've heard the commentators say the result, a swing to the government, was a disaster for the Liberals and for Paul Omidyar. I don't think it was a disaster for Paul. I don't want to comment on Paul's position at the moment. It's a very, very difficult job being the opposition leader. One thing I can assure you, the result, I think, was about us and about the candidate. The people of Peel didn't set out to vote against the Liberal Party. They voted for a new rail line. They voted for a $100 million upgrade to their local hospital. They voted for a massive expansion in their education facilities. They voted for a new police station and a greater focus on community safety. In other words, they voted for the things that actually matter to people in their interrelationship with state governments. They also voted for a very, very good candidate, Paul Papalia. When a person served his nation with distinction in the armed forces, including two stints in Iraq, for more than two decades in the roles that Paul fulfilled, puts up his hand and says, I'd like to serve the community again, you'd be silly to knock him back. And the people of Peel embraced him. And the Parliament of Western Australia would be better for his presence. So it was a good start to the year for us. Let's look now at the core services, core service areas, the government's priorities, because they are the community's priorities, health. Our health system is undergoing a transformation that previous governments were unable or unwilling to even contemplate. I'm referring, of course, to our $4 billion health reform program that will deliver services closer to where people actually live and provide a back-to-basics approach to every aspect of patient care to ensure we get value from every dollar spent in health. It's a huge, huge program. It's a transformation that other states, again, are watching and wishing that they were doing. The easy option could have been to tinker, procrastinate, not do much. We didn't. And we didn't because, my view in government, you're given the chance to make a difference. Make the difference. And if you don't want to make the difference, move aside and let someone else do it. Community safety. Community safety is another area where the government is delivering and will continue to deliver. There's always, always issues here in community safety, and there always will be. But not many premiers could get up and say this. WA's crime rate is falling. WA's crime rate is falling, especially our burglary rates, 30% lower than when it was when we came to power. Car thefts down 40%. We've shown the ability to respond, and more importantly, we've shown the ability with the police force to deliver. Getting more police out there visible in the community front line first, that's Commissioner Callaghan's approach, and I think it's the right approach. However, retaining and attracting quality people is a huge challenge in the current economic climate, as many in this room can attest. It's not just the public sector that's having problems, obviously. It's the private sector as well. We've already employed an additional 330 police officers since coming to power, and this year we'll be launching a new recruitment drive to get more people into uniform and on the beat. And as you know, we're scouring the planet looking for them. Education. The reality is this. We have created a situation in Western Australia broadly where we now have more jobs available than we have people to fill them. That's the situation we're confronted with in Western Australia across the board economically. It's a whole new set of challenges and problems, but it's preferable to the alternative. It creates a whole set of issues for us in the here and now, dealing with it in the here and now, and there are challenges that we cannot shy away from. We have a massive in education, massive, mind-boggling capital works program. Challenge to deliver, actually, finding enough people to deliver our capital works program. But it wasn't a great start to the year when we were more than 200 teachers short of what we needed. In fact, to be blunt, it was terrible. It was a terrible situation to be confronted with, 200 teachers short. Absolutely terrible. And by the way, there is no shortage of school teachers in WA. There's a shortage of teachers in schools. There are lots of school teachers in WA. There is fierce competition for labour, and there is an effect, and we are experiencing that effect in education and elsewhere. Despite all that, our challenge is fix it. We have to fix it. There are actually 1,300 more teachers in our government schools now than when we came to office, and no more students. We reduced class sizes, poured in specialists to ensure as best we can every kid gets the chance to succeed. It was the line I pushed when I was in education, want every kid to get the chance to succeed. I don't care where they're from, what abilities they've got or haven't got, they have to have a chance to succeed. And they must be supported. So 1,300 extra teachers, more than 2,000 additional education assistants, but we came up with that shortage this year, which we cannot allow to be replicated next year. 2007, I believe, will be a year when many of our successes from the effort we've put in will start to be realised. In July, one of my pet subjects, the new Perth to Mandurah Railway will be ferrying tens of thousands of people into the new underground station in the middle of the city. And what I want to do is trawl back through all the press and find those people who were condemning it and saying you shouldn't be doing it and offer them a little free ride on the train and see how in tune with community attitudes they are. It's a breathtaking project that'll help transform our city and the rapidly growing southwest corridor of the metropolitan area. It's a project that continues to attract massive levels, and believe me, I felt all this during that by-election campaign down there, massive levels of public support despite the critics and the short-sightedness of some. Our initial cost estimate of this project, remember the controversy, $1.417 billion in 2002. The current estimate is $1.6 billion. That is a difference of 14% over 5 years. This is only a fraction of the increase in the same period in the building construction index. And I think there'll be many construction project generators or many construction project proponents who would be wishing right now that they could have restrained cost growth to the same levels. At the time of the 2001 election, we promised the railway by the end of 2007. As I said, July, middle of this year, you'll be able to ride it. And it's been a phenomenal effort, despite some very unfortunate and unnecessary problems that should never have occurred. When I talk to business people in other states, they have nothing but praise for what's going on over here in our infrastructure developments. Read the press outside of WA and you get the same feeling. WA is setting the pace when it comes to planning for the future. Another demonstration I mentioned, the desalination plant, delivering water to your homes as I speak. While other states and councils around Australia are seriously considering desalination as an answer to their water worries, Western Australian households are already sourcing 20% of their water from the Indian Ocean. It's something that I think we can tick as a great achievement for our community. It's one of the reasons WA is ahead of the game when it comes to addressing our changing climate. The Prime Minister a fortnight ago stated that WA was the only state to have taken this issue of water security seriously, and he's borrowed from Malcolm Turnbull that sentiment, which is good. It's always good to have your work acknowledged, and I was grateful for the praise. It'd be even better if the federal government now provided some financial assistance to our state along the lines of what's been promised to the rest of Canberra. My attitude is, no matter who's in power in Canberra, be constructive in your relationship with them. I think people are sick and tired of, you know, state government criticising Canberra, Canberra criticising state government. They want to see solutions in the national or state interest and amicably, as best you can, amicably delivered and in partnership. So last week I went to Canberra in my cooperative suit and was led to believe an announcement of the Commonwealth support for at least one of our water projects, which is a major recycling project in our own form of recycling, was imminent. And so I look forward to it. I've been led to believe that imminence before, but I'm very optimistic that we'll be getting some Commonwealth assistance for water security very soon. We are serious, and I think people recognise this, including the Commonwealth Government. We are serious about solving our state's long-term problems. We are governing for the next generation, not for the next election. And I mean that. Of course we want to get elected at the next election. But we need to govern for the next generation. You have to lift your eyes up above the next two, three, 4 years and look out further out. And I think if you do that, people will respond to it. And they support what you're trying to achieve. You can't always just be focused on what's coming up in the next election. You've got to be focused in the longer term. I mentioned climate change. It's amazing how quickly public debate moves around, isn't it? Did anybody mention climate change in any of the addresses last year? I bet they didn't. Climate change. I think within this debate, there is great opportunity for Western Australia, but we have to lead. We cannot afford to be led. We have to lead. On Friday, I and the other Premiers and Territory leaders committed to establishing a carbon emissions trading regime by 2010. The federal government will be a part of it. I'm absolutely certain that is going to be the case. Whether it's Prime Minister John Howard or Prime Minister Kevin Rudd, there will be a Commonwealth-supported carbon trading regime in Australia. Importantly for us in Western Australia, the principles of the proposed model now include protection from the impacts of the scheme for energy-intensive, trade-exposed industries, while competing nations are not subject to commensurate emission reduction policies. It was very important, as I said, to position yourselves for the future. Get in there and start directing the way issues are trending. Don't stand on the outside and let things happen and hope it's going to good for you. So from last year to this year, we insisted that this proviso to protect our own exporting industries be incorporated, and I'm confident, absolutely confident, that it now will be in the eventual national scheme. A very significant priority is the need to stimulate research and investment in carbon capture, which includes plantations. There's a great opportunity for us in carbon capture in plantations in West Australia, much bigger than I conceived of even a short time ago. Also carbon geosequestration and clean coal technology. The coal industry is and will remain an important component of our energy profile here in Western Australia, and we can't afford to just toss it aside. We can't do it. We can't pretend to embrace the rhetoric which says, get rid of your coal industry. It cannot be done. So you have to actually make things work for yourself and work to your benefit. Clean coal. We all hear about it all the time, but rarely in relation to Western Australia. Clean coal is the future of the industry, and we are keen to and optimistic of attracting a major clean coal project to this state, to Western Australia. There is no reason that we can't get a clean coal project here in Western Australia, and actually, I'm pretty optimistic about the prospects. Invite me back next year and see how it went. The drive for lower emissions and more carbon capture is good for, not a threat to, the coal industry. There is huge potential for us in carbon capture through plantation. Our plantation industry in the southwest is already enormous. I come from the southwest. I'm forever going to places that used to have either low heathland or just fairly dried out pasture land, and now seeing blue gum forests all over it. The excitement, though, I believe, is what this could mean for areas outside of the southwest. Mallee Oil's plantations are already piloted and successful in the dry wheat belt, and there are international companies now who are involved in undertaking carbon capture Mallee Plantation in Western Australia. They're ahead of us in some ways in reading the play on carbon emissions, and they're moving around the world looking for places where they can offset carbon emissions through carbon capture. We have vast areas of open land that could become available for plantation as part of a carbon emissions trading regime. This year I expect to see major developments in renewable and clean energy projects for WA. You would have seen them starting to emerge and be developed in media reports. Wind, obviously. Geothermal, that is the hot rocks possibility. Solar, the technology is evolving. Wave power, biomass. We can lead or we can be left behind, and by being left behind, ultimately punish. Let's choose to lead. One more interactive activity, please. I know you're having your sweets, but you've got two hands. If you don't mind, just once. Addressing climate change is an issue among nations. It's an issue within nations, among states, within states, among communities, within communities, and so on, right down to the individuals. The individual can make a difference. So please, and don't be embarrassed and just be honest, I'm just getting a gauge here. I need to know because I need to know what needs to be done if certain things haven't become evident to people. Can you raise your hand in the air if you've heard of the renewable energy option Natural Power offered by the state-owned energy retailer Synergy? Thank you very much. Keep your hand up, of those of you who got your hand up, if you actually signed up. There you go. Leaflets are in the foyer. There is huge opportunity for every individual person. I've done it. So you can do it too. To make a contribution in this area. It's painless, it's pain-free, and it does genuinely make a difference. Natural Power, Synergy is offering it, and obviously I would say we need to promote it better. We need to promote it better. So thank you for that indication. You've set me off on a new task. Promote Synergy's Natural Power better. Last week I announced that the state government will now be purchasing... By the way, Natural Power is carbon-free. It's earth-friendly. Last week I announced that the state government will be purchasing 20% of all its electricity through the Green Energy Program. That's one-fifth of all the power used by our government schools, hospitals, offices and other workplaces. It'll save 90,000 tonnes of carbon dioxide per year, the equivalent of taking 21,000 cars off the road. We already run a carbon-neutral car fleet, the first government in Australia to do so. And of course, our desalination plant is powered by renewable energy, and we can show you the trail of contracts to prove it, for those of you who continue to deny it. Housing affordability. There are issues that need to be confronted, and this is a big one for us. It is the other side, or one of the other sides, of this boom. It's all very well for the economy to be pumping along, but there are issues that emerge that need to be addressed, and clearly housing affordability is a very significant one. None of the forecasters, nobody in this room or in government, both state and federal, predicted what has happened in relation to the housing industry in Western Australia. Pricing, I'm talking about. Last year, one forecaster, I won't mention them, predicted a 1% decline in Perth house prices. Average increase was 40%. 1% decline predicted, 40% increase the reality. I don't know what we predicted out of Treasury. It's about small increase. So I acknowledge that housing affordability is now a very serious issue for us in Western Australia, particularly for first home buyers and for renters. To me, this is a much bigger issue than we can't park the boat. People who are buying boats can't park the boat in the river. I acknowledge that's an issue as well, but housing affordability is a very big issue. Western Australia has experienced enormous growth. This is one of the growing pains that comes with it. The issue of housing affordability is very, very complex, and be aware or wary of anyone who promises to be able to fix it overnight. For example, those who blame the current housing affordability issue on stamp duty know all too well that this is not the case and that there are a range of factors affecting house prices. They include the massive economic activity, the net migration to Western Australia of working people looking for and finding employment, the process of land supply and release in Western Australia, and of course, interest rates. As I said, this is a complex area that requires a range of policy responses, and it's up to government, state, federal, to respond. We are developing a range of initiatives that will help secure more affordable housing onto the market. As a start, I'm announcing today an immediate measure that'll help 3,000 West Australian families to purchase their own home in partnership with the state government. This shared equity scheme, to be known as the First Start Program, will allow West Australians and the state government to jointly purchase homes up to the value of $365,000. It'll mean that those first home buyers on low to moderate incomes who are currently priced out of the market will now be able to afford a modest home, and the state government will share the cost. And with the passage of time, as their finances permit, they'll be able to purchase the government's share of their home. Most importantly, it means that low to middle income earners will be in a position to make their first property purchase. And with the historic growth in the real estate market, it means these people will have the chance to grow their own equity and achieve long-term financial security. This model has been successfully used in the UK, and I believe will alleviate some of the concerns for lower-income first home buyers in WA. As I said, this is just the start. There are other measures that need to and will be taken. We are engaged in a dialogue with the building industry to look at such measures to ensure land and house packages become available, especially for first home buyers. We need to allow them to maintain access to the market. We'll also immediately be expanding our capabilities in respect to planning. More planners and better planning systems. I met a group from the building industry. They put the problem to me in this regard, and we need to respond and will respond. Planners aren't walking around in large numbers waiting to be picked up on the sidewalks of Perth at the moment. You can't necessarily click your fingers and produce them. But more planners, better planning systems will be provided. We have to be sensible about our policy responses to this major issue of housing affordability. We have to make sure the decisions we make are affordable, they're sustainable, and actually help the people that need the help. Let's not make talk about a bust a self-fulfilling prophecy. Let's remember that market forces in property are extremely powerful. There'll always be limits to the influence government policy can have over this market. I appreciate this opportunity to talk to you today about where we are and the year ahead, some of the challenges we face. 2007 will be an exciting time, and I hope for all the right reasons. There are World Cups to be won in cricket and rugby. There's a football season, of course, almost upon us, and in my dreams, we have already won. We being, thank you. That's the Fremantle Dockers. And somewhere along the way, there'll be a federal election held. Very important federal election. They all are, but this one, I think, will be very, very important. Throughout the weeks and months ahead, I can assure you that we'll be getting on with the job of delivering quality services to West Australian people. I believe our economy is not just experiencing a boom, it's undergoing a transformation. I won't dwell on it. Chip Goodyear's comments about China, the nature of the change, I think it's absolutely correct. This isn't just a short-term ephemeral thing. There is a transition that is taking place, a transformation. We are positioning ourselves for the future. We are positioning ourselves for the future so that our economy can continue to be strong and that Western Australia can continue to be the place where you would all, with the exception of about three, and I'll get your names, where you would all choose to live above anywhere else in the world. Thank you very much.